not only that you would guide and speak to us, but that we may be obedient to your word, and that our lives would be transformed and conformed every day into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. For the next few weeks, I'm going to be teaching on living powerful lives. Living powerful lives. Did you know that we are called to live a powerful life? I got two amens, so I'm glad a couple of people know that we are called to live powerful lives. Your life is not meant to be lived in defeat. Did you hear that? Your life is not meant to be lived in defeat or fear or, you know, those things that arise that sometimes just grip our heart. Your life is not meant to be lived that way. Now, does that mean that you will go through some problems and challenges in your life? Of course not. We all know that, right? I mean, we all face them. Ever so present nowadays with the economic situation. I mean, there's a lot of people walking around with a lot of fear, and but in spite of all of that, those who are in Jesus Christ are meant to live powerful lives. Not because of who we are. Right? We're frail human beings, but because of who God is. You all know this verse, and you can probably quote it by heart. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear," but listen to this, "but a spirit of power." Yeah, he gave us all those other things too. But I want to focus and emphasize a spirit of power. That was kind of powerful, wasn't it? Power. The word in the Greek is the same word, the same root word where we get dynamite from. Have you ever seen weak dynamite? No, I'm not an explosive expert, okay? I'm scared of all of that, but even firecrackers could be quite dangerous, right? Those little things could be very dangerous if not used properly, because it has what? Concentrated power. Now, listen. Scientists believe that, you know, it was the Big Bang that caused everything to into existence, right? I mean, okay. If they want to go that way, but you know that if you read the scriptures, that God spoke things into existence. Just the voice of God just spoke things into existence. Because there's power in God's voice. There's power in God's word. Yet, we as believers sometimes fail to understand that. And so we live, instead of living powerful lives, we live defeated lives. God calls us to live powerful lives, but we're in defeat. There's a problem there, right? There's a problem there. It's not God's problem. God has given us everything that we need at our disposal. Free of charge. Unmerited, right? Unmerited. We didn't merit anything, but God, out of his own goodness and love and compassion, gave it to us. Now, I want you to look at your hands this morning. And you may not believe this right now because of the situation that you may be going through, but I want you to look at your hands and say this: I have power in my hands. God did not give you or me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of what? Power. Look, there are a number of spiritual qualities that is often missed because we just read by and glance by and we don't pay any attention or notice to them. But they have an incredible impact in our lives. Gratitude is one of those powers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, thank God no matter what happens. I want you to, if you're following there in your bulletin, I want you to underline, no matter what happens. Thank God no matter what happens. I want you to say it this morning with me. Thank God no matter what happens. 1, 2, 3. Oh, but the job situation is horrible. But I'm sick in my body. But I'm upside down in my mortgage. But my 401k is pretty weak right now. But there are so little people here this morning. But Pastor Reggie's knee hurts. No matter what happens, no matter. Why? This is the way God, I want you to underline there too. Look, you're going to thank God no matter what, right? No matter what happens. Why? Why? This is the way God wants it, period. Are you going to argue with God this morning? You're going to lose. I'm going to tell you that right now. You stand to lose if you're... This is the way God wants it. This is the way God wants for those who belong to Jesus Christ to live. To live lives of gratitude. No matter what. When times are good, no matter what. When times are not good, no matter what. An added blessing is not only one that impacts your life, in my life, but it also attracts the blessings of God in our lives. Did you know that? When you and I live lives of faith and gratitude, you attract. You're like a magnet. You attract those things, those blessings of God in your life. When you do not live a life of gratitude, you what? Repel. You give thanks, you attract. You do not give thanks, you repel. And there's a lot of people who live that way. They start measuring themselves against other people and they say, well, wait a minute, look at me, poor me. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, I can see this morning, I can breathe this morning, I'm alive this morning. You've given me purpose this morning, Lord. You have a plan for my life this morning, Lord. I thank you. For those of you who don't know, for the past like month or so, I've been like trying to close on a house and move, and it was very, very stressful because we didn't know if it was going to happen. Banks are like really like tight nowadays. But finally happened yesterday. I mean, this week. And so yesterday we started moving, right? And today I'm like hurting from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I mean, it's just, even my thoughts hurt this morning, right? But I got up this morning, right? And the house is like a wreck, right? A storm hit it. I got up this morning and I put my feet on the ground. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. In fact, I was so thankful this morning. If you're my friend on Facebook, you probably saw my Facebook. That's the first thing I did this morning when I got up. I am so thankful this morning. Now, listen, there's a key there. There's a key there. When you say thank you, God, for what you're doing, you are believing with all of your heart that God is operating through your life. You are saying to yourself and to those people around you, but most importantly, you're reminding yourself, listen, God is working through me. God is real in my life. And so when, listen, we've become idolatrous people. Did you understand? You know that? We've become idolatrous people because God is saying, look, I'm here for you. I'm all powerful. I'm almighty. I'm all majestic, and I'm on your side. I mean, how powerful is that statement, right? I'm on your side. I'm on your team. I'm rooting for you. And then you take your situation and your trouble and your whatever the case may be, which in the sight of God is minuscule, right? Is minuscule. And you're making that thing bigger than God. Whatever the circumstances, you're making that thing bigger than God. And that's where you focus your attention. And that's where you pay attention and you bow to it. Did you know that? You bow to it. Oh, Lord, you're bowing to it. Look at this situation. You're bowing to it. Instead of saying, God, I praise you and thank you because you are in control of me and that thing and that thing and that thing and that, and no weapon formed against me, nothing that would come my way will ever prosper. I got three amens. That's good. No weapon. Now, that's when you live a thankful life. When you are operating in the Spirit. When you are recognizing that you are not your own, but you're God's, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But the minute that you turn your eyes off of God and into that thing, every weapon formed against you prospers. Not because of God, but because of you and me. We allow those things to prosper in our lives. Is this making any sense? So God is pleased, and this is what I want you to leave here this morning, okay? God is pleased with the person who lives in a state of gratefulness. God is pleased. Because this is the way God meant life to be lived. This is the way God ordained things to happen for Christians. Christians who are whining and nagging and, you know, complaining all the time and making those situations greater than God, God just cannot operate in those individuals. And so you and I this morning may need to adjust some things in our lives. And here's the first thing that I think we need to adjust in our lives. The first is we must have the attitude of gratitude. That's the first one there. The attitude of gratitude. Say it with me. It's all about attitude. Come on, say it with conviction. It's all about attitude. It's all about attitude. You have to choose. You know what I mean? You have to choose to have an attitude of gratitude. When I was growing up in church, there was a song that they used to sing, and I mean, if I sing it out in Spanish, none of you would probably understand it, right? Look, I want to be like Paul. I would rather say two words that you understand than 1,000 words. Okay, so anyway, but the song went something like this, you know. It's a good thing and an easy thing to praise God when everything is going well. It's easy. And to when things are going excellent, it is the gist of it is a piece of cake to worship the Lord and to thank God. But the song went on to say, but I choose to thank God in the difficulties of my life. I choose. It's about attitude. How's your attitude this morning? Think, do a self-examination. How is your attitude this morning? Luke 17:11 says that you have to develop a lifestyle of appreciation. Develop a lifestyle of appreciation. Develop implies what? When you develop something, what do you imply? What are you implying there? What? There's work, right? When you are developing your body, right? And you're like, I say, okay, I'm a little, you know, I have to shed a couple of pounds because of my diabetes or whatever the case may be, and I need to be actively involved in the development of my body. What do you do there? You work out. You cut those things in your diet that are not healthy. It takes work. It takes discipline. Say discipline. Oh, how hard is that word sometimes, right? It takes time. But we have to develop that lifestyle of appreciation. We have to develop it. God is not going to develop it for us. God gives you every single opportunity, every single day to be thankful, and you choose, and I choose, whether or not we're going to be thankful in those situations. As my brothers and sisters in the African American church would say, can I get a witness? Right? Can I get a witness? Right? You have to develop it. You got to work. You got to spend time. You got to be disciplined about it. And the other thing is this. It is a lifestyle. Amen. Yeah, I've been a pastor. I mean, I've been in the full-time ministry for going on 20 years. All right. And before then, you know, my dad was a minister. So I grew up. I mean, I've seen church people. I know church people. And I got a witness. Right? I mean, and one of the things that never, I mean, even at a very young age, that never fit my mind was to see negative Christians. It's like an oxymoron. To me, it almost feels like you can't be a Christian. All right, that's probably a strong statement, and I don't want to be like chastised this morning, but you know, it's almost like an oxymoron. Because think about it. What does the word Christian mean? Follower, right? Of Christos, right? The Christ, right? That means that you are locked in step with whom? With Christ. And so you're locked in step with Jesus, and the Jesus stuff will rub off on you. That's basically the follower thing. That's discipleship right there at its core. You walk enough with Jesus, that stuff will rub off on you. Now think about it. How was Jesus? Was he negative or positive? Was he God-centered or self-centered? Did he have his man's vision or God's vision? So if we were lock in step with Jesus, that means that his vision is our vision. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of appreciation. Secondly is what? This power comes, what? In the abundance. Would you say with me that God is not stingy? Think about it. Okay, think about it. You live on planet Earth, right, with bountiful blessings. Why? Because God is not stingy. There is power in gratitude, my friends. There is power that comes to us in abundance. But we have to have an attitude of gratitude. Second is that we have to become grateful, not hateful. Grateful, not hateful. Listen, there's enough hate out in the world. You would agree with me? I mean, I cannot stand watching the news anymore. I don't know about you, but I used to do it religiously, and I mean, you know, almost like a religion. You know, I had to watch the pre-news, the news, and the post-news, right? I used to watch like the news that came before the news, before the national news, and now Channel 6, I mean, I hope I'm not, you know, like, giving advertising here, free advertising. You know, let's charge them for this, Gary, okay, since it's going on the internet. You know, and then the 7 o'clock news, just because, and you watch this thing and you look that there's hate all around. There's wars and rumors of wars and killings and shootings and this and that. I mean, it is just incredibly hateful. It's in them, and here's the danger, folks. Here's the danger. Because we live in that type of environment, I remember the words of Jesus saying, you are in this world, but you're not, right? Why did Jesus say that? Because there's a tendency that since we're living in the system, that we become like it. And so the system is hateful. It can rub off on us. We too can become hateful. Where we look at an individual and just, right? I mean, our blood pressure goes up and you know, we get heart palpitations. You know, the it becomes like a volcano just waiting and ready to erupt. That's the system of this world. One of the things that I learned going back to my dad, I mean, I remember I told you that I know church folk? I could never understand, I mean, that my dad was working with, you know, church folk all the time, and he would, you know, serve and be a blessing, and then these same people who he really blessed came back and, you know, it's stab him, right? And as a child, I mean, that would anger me so much. I mean, so much. I wanted to pray. I wanted to pray for those people. Lord, kill them. Yet on many occasions, listen to this, folks. On many occasions, I would get up in the middle of the night and go downstairs to get like a cup of milk or a cup of, you know, orange juice. And there, in the silence of the night, when everybody else in the household was sleeping, my dad was on his knees with a list of all the church members, even those that would stab him in the back, praying for blessing. Because what God wants us to live is grateful lives, not what? Hateful lives. Listen, the verse there says that we are to stand out. We are to learn how to stand out in a generation of whining and complaining and negative and spiteful and grumpy people. We have to learn to stand out. Have you ever met somebody who's whining and complaining and negative and spiteful and grumpy?
Grumpy.
Right? We have to learn to stand out. We have to learn to be disciples of Jesus and say, I'm not going to be whining. I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to be spiteful. I'm not going to be grumpy. The joy of the Lord will be continued to be what? My strength in the midst of all of this. In 2 Corinthians, says that your appreciation of God's blessing affects how you treat and serve others. Becoming grateful is contagious. Say it with me. Becoming grateful is contagious. I've said it many times, and I'll continue saying it. You want to be a witness to others about Jesus? Be a person that is grateful and loving and caring. Okay? Because it is contagious. People look at you and say, wow, I want that. What is it that you have in the midst of all of this? that you can be so happy and joyous. I want that. You can say, it's because I live a life of gratitude. And third, when you think. Think about that. When you think, you think. There's power in positive thoughts. There's power in that. That you know that you can ultimately change your entire outlook on things by changing your mind. By changing your mind. That's it. I mean, listen, it may not change your situation around you, but at least your attitude about that situation changes. It all starts up here. Okay, you get that you get that feeling, right? You get the, okay, what's going on? Why is it that I'm okay? At that point, when you're feeling that in your heart, when you're struggling in your soul, when you're restless in your spirit, ask yourself, what am I thinking about? What am I thinking about? There's power. Philippians says that. There's power in positive thoughts. But these must be deeply rooted in your mind. They must deeply be rooted in God. They must deeply be rooted in your faith in God. They cannot just come out of anywhere. That's why, you know, you hear about, you know, positive thinking and positivity and all of that. But usually is centered around self, isn't it? So let me ask you a question. If the problem is with self, can anything good? I mean, that's like redundant, isn't it? Right? You can't draw good water out of a bad well, right? You have to go to what? Another well. Or at least, you know, purify that well. It's not in you. It's in God. So those positive thoughts must be about God, what God has done in your life, which is the next point there. Think of God's gifts of salvation to you. Think about it. We tend to forget what God has done, don't we? We are so, and listen, don't feel bad about it. Don't feel bad about it. I mean, change. I want to change, and you need to want to change too. But the children of Israel did this every single time. Do you remember that reading in Scripture? God would just like deliver them out. I mean, in a very miraculous, powerful way, deliver them from the hands of the Pharaoh. They would walk 3 steps and start complaining. Talk about, you know, having amnesia or something, right? They would forget. The disciples walk with Jesus, right? And the minute that Jesus would step aside and they would attempt it on their own, they would forget. So you and I forget too. But we have to keep coming back to it. Remember all the blessings that God has given to you. Remember the goodness. Remember the power. Remember the grace. And above all, remember God's gift of salvation that he gave to you and he gave to me without us having to work for it. So, in the next few weeks, hopefully we will learn what it means to live powerful lives. Hopefully we will learn what it means to live lives that are victorious. But one thing that we've got to remember is that if we want to live those powerful lives, it's going to take effort on our part. It's going to take some shifting in our minds. We're going to have to do some things differently. Amen? Amen. Pray with me, please. Lord God in heaven, we thank you. 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 We thank you, God, for all the things that you've done, for all the things that you will continue to do, and for the way in which you display your power and your might in our lives. Lord, we want to live powerful lives. We want to live powerful lives of gratitude. And so, Lord, this morning we begin to change our minds about it. We begin to change our attitude about it. We begin to take the steps necessary to allow your spirit to flow and work through us. each and every day of our lives. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Before I hand it, where's Gary? Gary? Oh, there's Gary. before I hand this over to Gary and to the praise team, I'm going to take, like maybe 2 minutes to make an announcement. I'm going to ask the pastors to come up here with me. Amen. I just wanna just announce something with the pastors and with all of you here present. On the last Sunday of this month will be my last Sunday as your part-time teaching pastor here. You are in a very unique situation. I mean, you have labored so hard and strong, and really, you have beaten the odds. I don't know if you know much about church plant, but not many make it. Not many make it. And you've, by the grace of God and the power of God, you've survived there and you've thrived in the midst of very, very, odds against you. But that also means that you have to do some shifting. One of the things that you really need is you need a full-time pastor with you. And God has not called me to be your full-time pastor. And so I'm taking a step back, and I'm allowing the Spirit to work in and through the rest of the leadership and through you. And starting in October, I will be like an itinerant preacher. I will come and teach and share with you. But that'll give the leadership and give you a time of prayer and discernment to go into the next level. Listen, folks, you are going into the next level. All right? And that means that you're gonna shift. There's gonna be some shifting going on. I mean, even in where you meet, that's going to have to shift. That's going to have to, because no church can go forever doing what you're doing. You understand that? It cannot happen. And so it's part of the maturing process of a church as they begin looking ahead and looking forward and asking themselves, God, what is it that you have in store for us? And listen to this, okay? Don't let the enemy whisper in your ear that you don't have a plan, that God doesn't have a plan for your life. You do. You have a plan. You have a purpose. You have a vision. And I want you to understand that what's going on is a shifting that will allow you to do what God wants you to do. Okay? I love you guys. Carmen and I love you guys. We've enjoyed our time, but you really, 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 guys, you really need somebody full-time to do this, and I can't do that right now. God has not called me to do that. So I want you to do something for us as we stand up here. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to extend your hands towards us, and that you would pray fervently right now that the purpose of God would be fulfilled and manifested in the ministry of Pioneer Community Church in the weeks and months and years to come. Pray with me. Lord God in heaven, if there's something that we have learned that you've taught us, is that this organism called the church is not ours. That you are the Lord of the church. And we thank you for that, Lord. Because you have a purpose and a plan for your church. You've called your church to grow and multiply, not only in numbers, Lord, but in effectiveness and in talent. You've called your church to be salt of the earth and light of the world. And you've placed Pioneer Community Church, Lord, in this community to be precisely that, to be that beacon of light that would draw people from the north and the south and the east and the west, not because of our sake, Lord, but because of the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom your word says that if we lift him up, he would draw all men to himself. And so, Lord, as a leadership, we're taking these bold steps. We're making some drastic transitions, Lord, because we understand that we need to be positioned where you want us. Be with the leadership as they continue to labor and to pray and envision what you would have them do in the next weeks and months and years, Lord. I pray that you would make that real and evident. And that as a result of that faithful inquiry, of that faithful discernment, that you would bless them, God. That you would bless them with people and with talent and with finances. I speak prosperity in every sense of the word, Lord, over the leadership and over this church as you continue to move them forward in your vision. And Lord, I thank you for giving me and Carmen the opportunity to walk alongside for these months. And in the years to come, Lord, I cannot wait to see what you will do in this place because of their faithfulness. And if you believe that prayer with me this morning, say amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Now, we're just going to sing. I'm going to invite you to sing a song with us in closing. And really, it's a song that we did earlier. And the song really is around that we will worship. We will continue to worship. And Pastor Reggie won't be gone. You'll see him. You know, he'll be preaching here from time to time. He's already on the schedule for the remainder of the year and et cetera. So he'll be around. But we as a church continue to purpose to do what it is that God called us to do, just like Pastor Reggie's doing what the Lord called him to do, which is to worship the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, and with all of our strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, go ahead and get up to your feet and join us. To worship you and you alone. Come on.
I will bow down.
I will bow down.
And hail you as King.
You are Lord.
I will give you all my worship. I will give.
Father God, just like Pastor Reggie and Gary and the others have said, God, we just declare, Lord God, that you are our rock that does not change. You are a rock that cannot be moved. You are the foundation of our life. You are from everlasting to everlasting. You are Alpha and Omega. And the stories of our lives, Lord God, you've already seen the beginning from the end.